Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to give you thanks for all that you have done for us. Another day, Lord, another opportunity to serve you, to worship you, to praise you. And we thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness towards our lives. Be glorified, Lord, and be magnified in this place this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, the title here this evening is Remember to Forget, Forget to Remember. Or maybe it makes more sense the other way around. Forget to remember, remember to forget. Whichever one sits with you best, it's perfectly fine. Now, it certainly sounds crazy, doesn't it? It sounds a little bit weird. Forget to remember, remember to forget. This certainly sounds crazy, but believe it or not, the Bible tells us to do both of these things in the Word of God. Did you know that? Praise God. And the Bible, if in case you didn't know, it's filled with paradox from front to back. And if in case you didn't know what a paradox is a figure of speech that ties opposites to the same action. I'm going to repeat that one more time if in case you missed it. What the meaning of paradox is. A paradox is a figure of speech that ties opposites to the same action. That is a paradox. For example, and I know you've heard some of these examples already. Humble yourself to be exalted. Right? Aren't these two completely different, separate things? If you humble yourself, you will be exalted. Two opposites right there. Exalt yourself and you will be humbled. Now the opposite, wouldn't you say? How about this one? I know this one is spoken about all the time. Die that you might live. See that? This is one very, very common. Or, live that you might die. All of these are paradox that are used in the Bible, in the Word of God. Pretty much opposite, two opposite things that come together, they tie to create the same action. Two opposites that come and tie together for the same purpose. There are passages of things we are supposed to forget. And there are passages of things that we are instructed to remember. And sometimes these are the same exact things, thus a paradox, okay, in the Word of God. And we will look at things we are to forget and remember at the same time. This is what we're going to briefly talk about this evening in our Wednesday evening Bible study. And I'm going to cover a series of things, a couple key points in the Bible, and I'm going to start out with the remember. Okay, remember the title of the sermon this evening, all right? Forget to remember and remember to forget. So we're going to cover a few things for us to remember. And then I'm going to conclude with the forget part of things. Okay? Something to remember. Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife? Yes? Well, let's read Luke 17:32. Luke 17, 32 says, remember Lot's wife. The Bible tells us to remember Lot's wife. So the first thing is, remember Lot's wife. Now, the lesson is that once we begin our journey, we are not to look back. That is why. When we start our journey in this walk, this, some people call it faith walk, some people call it a new life, a brand new creation, born again, whatever the case might be, we don't look back. I can't tell you how many times Pastor used to tell me, avoid old relationships. And then he'd say, avoid old neighborhoods. The neighborhood part came a whole lot more than relationships. Because it was apparent shortly after I rededicated my life to God. There we go. Praise God. It's okay. No problem. Shortly after I rededicated my life to God, I've cut away all the acquaintances. However, it was constantly drilled on me. Avoid old neighborhoods. Stay away from old neighborhoods. Because then, things start happening. Old habits, old acquaintances are going to naturally come. So, the number one lesson that we need to learn from all of this in remembering Lot's wife is when we begin our journey with the Lord, we are not to look back. And when we do, we are going to find failure. Brother Harry, are you able to press next on that verse? I didn't put it on the list. But I was studying this passage here a little bit. Just verse 33. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Paradox right there in itself. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. Which is exactly the topic of what we're talking about right now. You see the two differences here? In how they come together and make sense? So, don't look back, y'all. Not at all. With a heart of returning to the past, that is no good. Or we might lose focus of our goal that's ahead of us when we look back. So easily we are able to be snared back to old habits and old ways and things that we once used to do. And when we go backwards, when we look backwards, we lose focus of what's ahead of us. We lose focus of the goal. A plowman who does not look forward will be a failure. Wouldn't you agree? How can you plow and till the earth if you're constantly looking backwards? That's a recipe for disaster. So, in this particular situation, let us remember Lot's wife. Amen. Next thing. Remember the word of our Lord Jesus. Remember his word. And it's very, very important that we do. And after I finished reading this passage, I was meditating on it for a while, and I was sort of just chewing on it and chewing on it. And all of a sudden, I developed a reverence that I never had before in this particular verse that we're going to read next. And to the reason why it's so important that we hold on to the Lord Jesus, every word. And that comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 6 through 8. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And then the Bible says, and they remembered his word. It is always wise to remember the words of our Lord. The words of our Lord Jesus are eternal life. His words are God's words, meaning God the Father. And His words are God's message to mankind. And believe it or not, His words will judge us in the last day. And the verse that I was referring to, I sort of jumped the gun a little bit here, is the next verse that we're going to read, which is John 12, verses 48 through 50. Here it is. This is what it was. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave. Next verse. Gave me a commandment that I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. If you sit down and meditate on these few verses that we just finished reading, doesn't it almost take a life of its own? For you to stop and meditate and think that everything that the Lord Jesus Christ said on this earth were direct words from God the Father. God the Father Himself, who gave us the Lord Jesus to die on a cross for us. I don't know about you, but to me that's somewhat huge. That's big. When we know that the Lord God Almighty Himself speak to us. Right now we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit ministers to us. But the words of the Lord Jesus Christ were all words from God Himself, Almighty God. So, it's important for us to remember the words of our Lord Jesus. The other thing that is very good for you to remember is the prayers for others. How many of you have been prayed for an intense amount of time? An immense, I should say, immense amount of time. Or know of somebody that has had prayer for an immense amount of time? I'd say at least every single one of us. If not, you yourself. As I can say for myself, I've had prayer for me for over a decade straight. But sometimes people get discouraged because it seems like the Lord is not hearing, the Lord is not listening, and everything else, when that's not the case. The Lord hears every single time we pray for someone. And it's very important that we continue to pray that for that person over and over again and not forget. I'm emphasizing things for you to remember. Always remember to pray for that family member, your neighbor, or that one special coworker, whoever it might be, up until it's time for God's will to be done. And I would like to read next Acts chapter 20, verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. With tears. And right now, Paul takes things an extra step. Not only is he praying for the fellow Christians in Christ, but he's also praying with tears. Right here it says twice a day, in the morning and at night, with tears. Isn't that something? Now, I'm not sitting here saying that you need to pray for your enemy with tears in your eyes every single time you pray. No, I'm not trying to emphasize that. What I'm more so saying is that with sincerity and remembering to do it is the key, which in this particular situation is for 3 years, twice a day, you're praying with tears in your eyes, interceding for someone. Do you understand? So, we are so thankful when we know others are praying for us, aren't we? Oftentimes we have breakthroughs in our lives and we see things happening because one special person, all the way out there or close by, prayed for you every single night before they went to bed. I am thankful that someone prayed for me every single day and fasted for me every single day. And I know you are thankful also that someone prayed for you on a daily basis until the breakthrough came. So, we ought to do the same for others. Let us not forget them at all. The other thing worth remembering is the poor. We should always remember the poor. And the Lord has placed it in my heart to talk about this to extent lately. The request by Peter, John, and James to Paul is clear in Galatians chapter 2, verse 10. They, meaning these guys, desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. Remembering the poor. In this particular situation, you can see the heart of Paul in how he had a soft spot for those in need. He had a soft spot for those that were less fortunate. And here it says, they desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. Let us not ever forget that we do have a duty and a responsibility for our fellow brother, for our fellow sister. Whether they're in here in church in the house of God or fellowshipping or not. Whether they don't, even if they don't know God and don't know the God of Israel, with your ministry to the poor, that could very easily save them. Did you know that? And it's, I've said this many times, my personal testimony many times, but I've never said it in the way that I'm about to say right now. Ultimately, I was in a very tight situation in my life at that particular moment, but ultimately, what brought me back to the Lord, and I'm not putting all my eggs in this one basket, but ultimately what it was a cup of coffee and a bagel with cream cheese. It is what it is. Hey. You know, I was right in front of Advance Auto Parts. I had a wrecker, a tow truck, that I had bought. I invested all of my money. I was a crane operator for a while. I made a very good living, and then the economy crashed. So I used up all of my money with the exception of my savings, and I pretty much wiped out my savings, and for a few thousand dollars, I bought an old F-350 wrecker, stick shift, in the hopes of landing a job in the city, being an independent tow truck driver and towing people when 4 o'clock came, you know, from the city. Better move from the meter. Any which way I could make a living. So I decided to go that route. But I was in front of Advance Auto Parts because my truck needed a part. And that part was a little bit over $100. I can't even remember what it was. But it left me with, $7 or $8 in my pocket to my name. It was less than $10. That's all the money I had. And I might have had like a half a tank of gas or something. And it's a single cab, so I opened the door and I lift up the seat, and I put this part in the back seat. And I remember this as clear as day. I reach into my pocket, and I look to see how much cash I have, and I counted this. And this was around 9 o'clock in the morning. And I thought to myself, I can have breakfast right now and go all day without eating, or I can go all day without eating and then buy myself a dinner, and then I'll be able to sleep better tonight. That was my thought. And I decided that I'm going to muscle it out all day, and I'm just going to get a happy meal at the end of the night and go to sleep, right? There was a period in my life that I went through some times, and I'm not going to bore you with all the story. But right when I put my money back in my pocket, a brother from 2 blocks away from this hardware store, from Advanced Auto Parts, approached me, tapped my shoulder, I turned around, gave me a flyer, printed on a sheet of paper, a regular piece of paper, with an address, a name and address, and says, we are having, I think he did say men's fellowship meeting in 15 minutes. Come meet us down there, and we have breakfast down. You can have breakfast with us. And my eyes just went like this. Whoa. Like, yes. And I didn't have to think twice. I was like, what? I have free food right now? And let me just say, and I oftentimes I say this because it's important for me to say this, and it's I trust you won't take it any other way than what it is. This brother is, I think he might be the elder of the church, and I shortly started attending that church. They asked me to be the drummer, and I was a drummer there for 2 years. And then when I left there, I came here to be CFC. But this is a short, let me just politely say, a dark-skinned brother. Okay? He is very, very dark in complexion with a bald head. Perfectly shaved bald head. And the reason why I'm calling out his skin color is because when I looked at him, his cranium, his head was like a light bulb. It shone. And afterwards, I thought back and I remember and I was recalling this in my head and I said, you know, for some reason, that brother glowed. And when I was thinking about him in the past, I was like, how did that ever happen? I can't see his face. When I recollect the memory and I think back, I can't tell the features like his eyes and his lips and his nose. If I think about him right now, I know exactly what he looks like. I might even be able to draw him. But in that particular day, when I look back at that particular instant, I can't picture his face. All I can picture is a light bulb wearing a t-shirt. And that's all. And I thank God for that. You know, the Lord used this man to witness to me, but I cannot avoid the fact that at that time, I was in need. I was in major need. There was one time, I don't know how I told my mom this, but I don't know if I was proud of it or what, but I went 30 days with $20 in my pocket. And I don't know how I did it. But there was a time in my life where the Lord was just closing the faucet, and closing the faucet, till it came a point that I gave up. You know, I was still somewhat of a knucklehead when I came back, but the Lord was working on me. He was molding me. He was putting me through the trial. But it's inevitable the fact that what brought me back and lured me in was a cup of coffee and bagel and cream cheese. And that was some good breakfast. I had some Danishes, I think, also. We were meeting in the basement of the church, and everybody was so loving and welcoming, and it was unbelievable, unreal. And it had been a while since I had felt genuine, true brotherly love. And now this is why it's important for us to remember the poor. Remember those that are in need. Because you never know what the outcome is going to be. That person that might be in need, that person that the Lord placed in your heart to come and witness to, give him some money or buy him a meal, he might be the next pastor of a church. Amen? So, remember the poor. We need compassion upon them because for some of us, we were poor one day. You know, at least I was. And no matter how poor we consider ourselves to have been, we still had it better than many people. Many, many people. No matter how down and out I was, I still consider myself being blessed. 100%. Because there are other folks that have it much harder than I do. So, help them when you can, lest you be without the love of God. Can I please have 1 John 3:17? But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? It doesn't. You will lack the love of God. Now, moving on. And one more thing to remember. You were once separated from God in Christ. Remember that. And it speaks about this in Ephesians chapter 2, 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. There is a reason why we need to remember who we were once upon a time before we gave our life to Jesus. And you can't say that, oh, I was born in a Christian home and whatnot, because I was born in a Christian home. And my parents were in the ministry, but yet I decided to go cuckoo. And I went off the deep end and I paid a price for that. But now, in verses 13, it says this, very next verse. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, who have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I think, personally, that when we look back at our situation and how things were for us once upon a time, it brings and sets in us a heart of gratitude, a heart of worship, a heart of humility, in how the Lord had mercy once upon a time to reach out to us and grab us and bring us close to Him. Now, ultimately, every single one of us made an active decision to follow Christ. We made an active decision to do what is right, to obey the commandments. But the Holy Spirit gave us a chance to make things right. And here we are, basking in His glory. Let us never forget who we once were, so that way we could always remember to be humble, walk with humility, and have a heart of thankfulness. A heart of thankfulness every single day. Knowing that His mercies renew every single morning. Now, I want to read a little tidbit information from you that I found to be, I don't know, not exactly hysterical, but noteworthy. In verses 11 and 12, the apostle reminds the readers that prior to their conversion, there were Gentiles by birth and therefore outcast as far as the Jews were concerned. First, they were despised. This is indicated by the fact that the Jews were called. This is indicated by the fact that the Jews called them, the Gentiles, the uncircumcision. Okay, you with me? This meant that the Gentiles did not have the surgical sign of their flesh that marked the Israelites as God's covenant people. The name uncircumcised was an ethical slur. Did you know that? It was an ethical slur similar to the names that people use today for despised nationalities. So you're being fussed out. We can feel something of its sting. Now get this. When we hear David saying concerning the Gentile Goliath, quote, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David was cussing him out. Now, I don't have to use examples as far as despised nationalities, right? We all know the slurs, and we all know the slangs, and we all know the bad words and everything like that. But back in that time, that word was uncircumcised. And this is what he called Goliath when he was getting ready to face him. Boy, this King David, he's got quite a, he's a feisty little somebody. But nonetheless, this is who we once were. We are no longer that. We are God's people. We are called ambassadors. Ambassadors of heaven. We represent the kingdom. And we work for the king. Amen? This is who we now are. Now, moving on before time get away from us. I'm just going to briefly cover some forget things. Let us forget what lies behind while pressing forward. Please remember that. Forget what lies behind while pressing forward. Philippians 3:13, please. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. Our past needs to stay there. And that's in the past. Point blank. Whatever we went through, whatever we've done in the past, whatever our history is, that's where it belongs. In the past. And press forward. Continually look forward. Not behind. Just like Lot's wife. You look behind, you dwell in the past, and it's disaster every single time. We cannot relive the past, and we should definitely not dwell in the past. We may have done many good things, okay? But there are more good things that still needs to be done. So no matter good or bad your past might be, you have to look forward. And if your past, let's just say, is squeaky clean and you've done so many great things, well, guess what? There's a whole lot more great things that we can do, still need to do, and will continue on doing. So, never reside on what's in the past and always remember to press forward. Forget. Something else about forget. Don't forget who you are. I talk about this all the time. You are a Christian. You live your life for Christ. You are a conqueror. You are a winner. Plain and simple. Don't forget who you are. James 1:25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Right there, folks. Don't forget who you are. You are fed. You are fed with the Word of God. You know exactly who you are. Stand on His Word. Stand on His promises. Amen? Don't be discouraged. Don't lose track. Don't lose sight of the prize of what's ahead. Don't forget who you are. And don't forget your life before you became a Christian. Once you became a Christian, your life is to be hidden in Christ. Can I please have Colossians 3, 3 and 4? For you died, and your life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Your focus is to be always on the things above. Always. And everything that I'm saying right now is alluding to the fact that we always look to what's ahead of us. Continuously. As mentioned in the first two verses, 1 and 2. Can I please have Colossians 3? Oh, there you go, 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Remember who you are. You are a Christian. You are an ambassador. And you are Christ's. To conclude all of this, things to remember and things to forget. We must do both to remember who we are, where we have been, from where we came, and who made it all possible for us. Let's all remember who made it possible. God, through Christ, made it possible for us to live a new life. And that is the life we need to focus upon, not what happened in the past. Do not forget to remember the good and remember to forget the bad. Amen? Don't dwell in the past. God bless you.